there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
And here we go, Stephen. Hello, welcome.
Hi, Joe. Take a big gulp of coffee. I'll keep talking as you are back.
And it's Two Cool Moms with Joe Gatto and
Steve Byrne.
We are very happy to be here. And this, we did no tablecloth.
No tablecloth.
That's for all our watchers on our YouTube channel, there's no tablecloth. For all our listeners, you don't care. Because they can't hear a tablecloth.
You know, I find this fascinating. I've gone back and seen shows, and I see myself, the ebbs and flows of like my weight loss, where I'm like, I'm close to 190, and then I'm close to like the bottom of 180s.
Yeah.
And I see go up and down. And then I look at my calendar, I'm like, why did I start putting on? When I tour with you, my diet goes to garbage.
Terrible. We were together not too long ago, and we had, within 12 hours, we had three different pizzerias. Three different pizzas.
That's right. We ate Papa John's in a minivan.
Yeah.
Traveling 85 miles per hour.
Papa John's in a minivan. That's the name.
Papa John's in a minivan. In the pitch darkness.
Yes.
By the way, it's pitch black.
Yeah.
Then you go from that to My Pie,
right,
which is
Manhattan.
Like my new favorite pizza in New York City.
Well, you know what? Somebody's got to do it. It might as well be these two cool moms.
That's right. How do you maintain, though? Because your weight kind of stays the same.
Consistently fat, yeah.
You're not consistently fat.
No, because you can't see where it gains. Like, underneath the table, my stomach is bigger size. You keep it all in your face. Like, my stomach is expanding, but you can't see past here.
Right.
If I stood up, I'd look like a bowling pin.
Yeah, when I put on weight, it goes here, here, and here. There's nothing in the butt. There's nothing. No. It just like.
Don't you wish it all went to your butt, though?
No, because then your pants, right?
Fit, yeah.
But it doesn't go to your butt.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know where it all goes to my belly? And I have had a couple jackets that I really liked, like suit jackets.
Yeah.
And then I just have to wear them more and more open.
You're just like, I can't button it. Because
my shoulders, it stays the same, the shoulders. Yeah. But how much can cover up over, that's the issue. Yeah.
I've got to stay disciplined, so stay away from me.
You got it, buddy. We'll stay.
While I'm in New York, okay?
We'll still clear.
I'm going to record with you, but I can't eat with you anymore.
By the way, aren't we also going to dinner after this?
We're going to dinner after this. God damn it. Yes. Okay, so one more meal.
One more meal. One more.
But
our last supper.
The thing with you is that there's always treats afterwards. Mm. It's not just the meal.
I live a life of
treats.
I live a life of treats.
Now, I did do the Portillo's. That was my fault.
Yes, that was your
bad. I went bananas on that.
You did.
I got an Italian beef. I got a sausage. I got the hot dogs, and I got the cheese fries.
I'll tell you what happens with you. And I've noticed this. You do this thing. You go, you know, we'll get it just so we have a taste, and you taste the whole thing. You don't stop. Like, you're like, we'll split it up. And then nobody splits it up. It all ends up in front of you. And you split it up into multiple. You eat a quarter at a time. You live your Portillo's a quarter at a time.
Oh, my God. But it's fat. It is like, it's like taking everything a guy would want in life and putting it under one roof. I love Portillo's.
You do.
The Illinois area.
Well, we introduced a couple of new friends that were traveling with us to it, and they absolutely lost their shit about it, too. They loved it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not wrong. You're not wrong. People do enjoy.
It's the best. It's the best. And it's like hangover food, but I never had a hangover because I haven't been drinking. Thank God you don't drink.
Oh
my
goodness.
God.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
You'd be dead.
I'd be dead. I'd physically be dead.
Physically done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the life and story of Steve Byrne. When you were, you said fast food, maybe think something. When you were younger, what were you scared of when you were younger?
When I was younger, I was scared of dying, right?
Oh, really? Oh, that's
truly
deep.
Scared
I wasn't
of dying.
Of that.
Yeah, I mean, I really was. Like, I'd be driving in my mom's station wagon, my father's truck, and I think about death all the time. Because I think when you're
wait, what?
I thought about it a lot. Not like I was into Nine Inch Nails or something at like eight or something, but I really like. I remember this one time, my father and I were at a mall. I don't know why I remember it. You know, when you're a kid, you just put memories together. I walked into a store and I got this Captain America thumb figure. So it's just, and I thought it was the coolest thing, and I had it on my thumb. And we went outside and it stayed with me all these years. I don't know what it means, but it was so cold. It was so dark outside and it felt like death to me. It felt like, oh, this is what death feels. I don't know. For some reason, that's what my brain came up with. And I remember I would sit in the back of the car and I'd cry and I'd be like, Mom, I don't want you to die. Dad, I don't want you to die. And they're like, we're not going to die. We're going to be here for you and all that stuff. And I was just a kid. And it really, it would bubble up every now and then. And then, of course, you grow older. and you accept life, and you know, then that, now I'm now my son has said that to me twice.
Really?
Where he's in the car. And
at least
he'll
you
start...
know your weight gain and weight loss. He's trying to give you a pep talk.
He's like, stop touring with Joe.
Dad, leave
I know
Joe.
I want you to die.
Your son has called me multiple times, just said, stay away from my father.
Yeah.
He's threatening me.
Little Kent.
But I hear him crying. I'm like, what's wrong, Kent? And he's done this twice. And he's like, I don't want you to die, Dad. I'm like, I'm not going to die. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm back to... the car, and I was like, wow.
But you just straight up
lied
to your son then?
Absolutely lied,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm going to keep eating like shit.
I tell my kids all the time I'm going to die.
Do you really?
Yeah, because we talk about, that's so funny, there's really different parenting strategies here. My world is surrounded with death, though. Like, both of my parents are dead. We have dogs that
die. Your act.
Yeah. Hi-yo.
Hey-yo.
My dogs die, like, every other week. I have one that goes, you know, so we have the old one. So they're very akin to being around that. And my daughter says, we had a talk not too long ago. I guess she was maybe a year ago, right? So she's mm-hmm. six or so. And she was like, oh, Daddy, she's like, but you're not going to die, are you? And I looked at her, and I was like, I might. And she goes, yeah, but I don't want you to. I said, well, I don't want to.
Sure.
I said, this is why we have so much fun when we're together, and this is why we say we love each other so much, because when I'm gone, you remember all the fun stuff. And then we start talking about my parents. She's like, what do you remember about grandma and grandpa and all that stuff?
Right.
And every time I talked to her for like a full year, she'd be like, tell me another story when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know about like my memories, which is really cool and interesting too.
That's an interesting, I never really thought about it, but there are two very different, are you going to rip the Band-Aid off, or are you going to pretend Santa Claus is still there?
Do you remember the first person in your life that died that you went to, like, when you were a kid? Do you remember, like, the first persons of importance?
My uncle George died of a brain tumor, and I was young. See, all my grandparents died before I was, like, you know, a certain age.
Yeah.
So they were all gone by the time I was, like,
do you remember how old you were-ish when your uncles? Were you, like, Kent's
my
age?
My uncle...
Or older.
I was probably 9 or 10 where I could kind of wrap my head around it, you know?
Yeah.
And he had passed. And then I had a really wonderful friend of mine in high school pass that was... that was incredibly impactful to me in terms of... to me, it was just the best lesson of, like... I always resolve issues with anybody I have.
Right. You don't want to leave that.
Immediately, because I don't, and not that I did, because my friend and I were always on great terms. Mm-hmm. You know, she was fantastic, beautiful, and wonderful, and great sense of humor, and I just always had I don't know, just had it such an impression on me that anytime I fight with my parents, my family, my anybody, like friends or whatever, we have a disagreement, I'm always the first to
if you can
call and apologize.
If you can, you just take care of it. Yeah,
yeah. Take accountability. Just water under the bridge, because you know, I don't know. Really kind of.
But if you think about it, are you doing that because you're doing that because they may die and you don't want to feel bad? But if you die, you won't care, right? You're doing that because, like, if you die, if you got in a fight with somebody, then you die. They're gonna be like, oh, I fought with him and I feel bad, but you're dead. You don't care.
I wouldn't care.
So, right. The flip side of that is you don't want them to feel guilty and like, oh, I never called them to say I'm sorry and they're gone. I never
thought of it that deeply. Right? Yeah. But I mean, I think, like, I just, when it goes, we were talking about our kids a second ago, right?
Yep.
I think when it comes to, like, kids, especially, like, you're seeing all this debate of, like, when to involve, you know, sexual identity or all these different things that it's like we're trying to instill in children a little earlier. And it's a multitude of different factors, right? It's not just, but that made the news cycle so much recently. My mindset has always been like, I want my kids to be kids as long as they can be kids.
Yeah.
And
protect
the minute
kiddom.
Yeah. The minute reality can come in and experiences can come in, then I'll have, like, real conversations. But, like, you know, my daughter is 10 now. She can have those conversations.
Yeah, she's
old enough. But my son is just, you know, he's putting green and brown marker on his butt telling his mom he's got diarrhea. It's like, I can't have that conversation with him yet. So I want him to Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Disney, all the things. Have fun.
Right.
It's all going to come at you real quick, and it's going to be a shit show.
I never thought that my question would lead to that. I thought you were going to be like, you know, spiders.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
No, I'm
but
kidding,
it really was like, yeah. It really was something I would think about quite a bit as a kid.
You know what traumatized me as a kid? Why I got there was we were talking about fast food. Have you ever seen the 1985 horror classic, The Stuff?
No.
So it's a complete rip off of The Blob, and it's this white material that kills people. It's like a white marshmallowy thing.
Okay.
And I attribute to why I don't like marshmallows.
Okay.
It just creeped me because there's one scene where a guy is like eating something and it gets inside his food and it just and it comes out and it's bad sci-fi effects and it eats him. And I wouldn't eat an egg McMuffin from McDonald's for the longest time because I thought that because of white egg. I couldn't eat it, and it scarred me.
I was about 13 when I discovered the stuff. White blobby material that
you put in your See, now I have to cut all of that.
What? I was skating around it. I was being as evasive as I could.
No, you're like, oh, there's the bullseye.
You put a pitch right over the, and I was like, I can't. I'm going to, that was as clean as I could make
it. You did great. You did great. I'm proud of you.
You can't, we'll you don't have to cut that.
No, we'll leave it in.
Okay, good. Okay, so you were scared of
just
the
stuff. Just freeze for a second so I can come back to. Okay, I'm kidding.
You were scared
of the stuff. Yeah, that movie freaked me out. It did. It was totally weird. You've never seen it?
No.
It's like a bad, like B horror. It's like a B horror movie. It's, yeah.
The one that freaked me out.
So I'm nine, right? I'm like nine ish when I saw it.
Where did you see it?
On television.
Did it just play once or was it on a bunch?
No, it was probably one of those ones I played on TV a bunch.
Okay.
And I just had, I watched it once, but it was like, I feel like it was one of those ones that was.
My folks got cable for the first time. And,
oh yeah.
And we had HBO. And I remember I was up late at night. I couldn't sleep. And I was, you know, I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I had the TV on and my parents are asleep. And I remember watching this, it was a horror short that they played. And I'd seen it two or three times, and I was like, oh, no, not this again. But this guy is driving to the hospital to go make sure his girlfriend's okay or something. And on his way, he sees this old woman standing in the pouring rain, and he's like, oh, my God, I got to help this woman. And he helps her, and she ends up having something, and she hacks him up and kills him, and she's the one that hacked the girlfriend at the hospital. So she's just like this serial hacker. And it freaked me out. So I was scared of like old people for a while.
You see old people on the road, you just
I really was, yeah.
You ain't getting me. Yeah. There's your hip. This is this old woman who broke down. It's like, this young man will help me. You're like, meh, meh.
Nope. HBO, 1988. Beat a bitch. But that was a movie that totally freaked me out as a kid. And there was another one where this person had on a clear mask, but it had like makeup on and a yellow rain jacket and an axe.
And that image is just in your mind, yeah?
I never saw the movie. It was at the video rental place, and I saw it, and it freaked me out.
Wow.
I don't know, like that.
That's crazy.
That freaked the hell out.
There was another one from, do you remember the movie, the one Creepshow? The movie Creepshow, old school one?
Yeah.
And there's the one where the guy lived in his apartment, and he gets overtaken by roaches.
Yeah.
You see that? That made me not eat cereal for the longest time. That was the weirdest.
Jaws. I saw Jaws.
Really? You couldn't go swimming?
I didn't want to, even if I was in a pool and I couldn't feel the bottom, I would freak out.
Really?
If I was at the deep end of a pool. I'm going, I know there's not a shark in here.
Right.
But it would still freak me out as a kid.
Yeah.
Jaws was the first film I really saw that.
But you swim in an ocean freely. I've been in an ocean with you. You love
an
ocean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I, yeah.
You
but even well. Still, when I was going out to that buoy in Miami, yeah. I was still like, I could get Nick right now. Does that freak you out?
Deep waters freak me out a little bit. Yeah, because you don't know what the hell's down there.
No, hell no.
Nobody knows.
I went snorkeling in Florida, 30 feet, and you could go down pretty far in certain pockets of the coral. But literally at the base of the coral, I remember looking down. You could see hammerhead sharks down there. And the guy I was with is like, yeah, they're not going to bug you. I'm like, you want to find out if adrenaline's brown?
Like, I'm not going to test that theory.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Because here's the thing in water. You're not going to win. Right? I don't care what comes out of you. I'll have a tough time. I'll tell you one time. I was in Cancun, and this son of a bitch Mexican threw caviar at me. Right? We had our Mexican guide who took us out to the greatest snorkeling spots.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, and we were on spring break, me and the boys from college.
Yeah.
And we were around, and he just started messing with people. And he goes, oh, come here. He's like, look, all the fish. And then he throws a handful of, like, caviar or fish food at you. And all the schools up your shorts freaked me the hell out. I swam back to the boat. I tried to murder the guy. He was so mad. And he was laughing. He's like, look at these stupid Americans down in Cancun.
But he's chumming the waters with, like, corn or something, right?
Yeah.
Those are fine, though, right?
No, but it just freaks you out because they're all on you.
And, yeah.
And doing that, like, it's so weird.
Now, here's the thing about water.
You got to be careful of the waters. I hope my kids don't get any irrational fears. I wonder if they do. My daughter, my son. Oh my God, my son.
Your biggest irrational fear was
the stuff.
The stuff. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, that because.
But what? Your kids are at an age now where I'm sure that they brought up
coyotes in
my,
New York.
Thank you. Talk to my son. He's afraid of a coyote. I'm like, why are you afraid of coyotes? He's like, because he's like, they're mean. That's his thing about animals. They're mean. For a while, he was afraid of possums. He's possums. And I was
Do you see them in New York?
There was his mom was telling a story about that she was hanging out in the backyard and a possum came in and they all freaked out and ran inside. And my son innocently goes, oh, are they mean? And my, and then she goes, oh yeah, it was really mean. And he goes, oh, and then he goes over to we have the Google and he goes, okay, Google, show me a picture of a possum. And the first picture that comes up is a rabid possum like that. And he screamed at the Google. He screamed like a full blown Home Alone at the Google and ran to his room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a thing for a minute.
Yeah, they're not pleasant.
They're not
animals.
Pleasant. No,
not at all.
Not at all. They were all over Staten Island growing up.
Are they really?
Oh my goodness.
Well, that's where they would be.
I had to take one down with a shovel.
Yeah. You what?
I had to take one down with a shovel. It disrespected my sister. She came home from a date. She came home from a date with her husband.
You slaughtered
a
possum?
I went after it with my crossbow. It fired early, so I got downgraded to a shovel. So my sister.
Hold on. Just walk me through this, okay? So hold on. So where's this possum?
My sister Gina is coming home from a date with her now husband Anthony. Nino.
Yeah.
Okay. Her and Nino are coming through the driveway, and on the corner post to come into my yard, you know, I had a chain link fence. Yeah. On the top of the corner is a full blown possum on the top standing up. My sister comes screaming in the house, Dad, there's a possum, there's a possum. Yeah. My dad's like, possums have rabies. Joe, get the crossbow. I run upstairs, I grab it off my wall because I had a wall of collectible weapons.
Did you
growing up I had
ninja claws, ninja stars,
sword,
yeah,
grappling hook, the whole nine, my whole wall.
That's like an eighth grader's John Wick.
Exactly right. Yeah, so okay. So I looked up, I was like, okay, I grabbed the crossbow, I come down, I'm lining it up, and I fire it early, and it goes over its sails, and it runs down. So my dad goes, oh, just get the shovel. And I go get the shovel.
So now it's stuck inside
the fence. It's stuck inside the fence, and my dad just tees it up and gives it a dong. And then he puts his arm around me, and he holds it, and he stands next to me, and he says a few words about the possum. father, yeah, it's a mess around, you know. He goes, let's say some kind words about this possum. And then he gives me the shovel and goes, we bury our dead here. He made me bury the possum in my backyard. True story.
Oh, my God. I remember the first thing my dad killed was a bat.
Oh.
There was a bat in the attic.
Those are tough.
And we heard it. And he had a hockey stick. So he was just swinging at this hockey stick, and he eventually killed
him. Did he eventually get it? That's a hard hit, a bat with a hockey stick.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I remember the first, I got a slingshot when I was, no.
Oh, yeah.
Slingshot, yeah.
I did damage with a rust rocket.
I got to kill a bird.
Yeah.
And I killed a bird, and I cried.
You felt so
after
bad.
I killed it, and I put it down again. I never hunted again.
That was the last time you hunted.
Never hunted
again. Did you have the traditional Huckleberry Finn, or did you have the wrist rocket?
I had the thing where it lays down on your arm.
That's a wrist rocket, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And you get the pellets with it.
That's great.
The metal pellets.
Yeah, you could do some damage with that. Mrs. Smith's my neighbor house. I used to break her shingles one by one. Because you know when you're young, you don't realize like, what you're doing.
Yeah,
it makes a cool noise. Like, oh. And then she came out one day and her whole wall is broken. And she's like, what the? And my dad had to pay to redo her shingles.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got in trouble for that one.
Now she's got pots and pans next time it rains because little Joey Gatto. Yeah.
No, it was like ding, and it just like the wall, and it would just break, and it would look cool. Sorry about that, Mr. Smith. Rest in peace. I buried her in the backyard. We bury our dead. All right, let's get into it. Should we
let's get into
people?
It. Okay, here we go. By the way, thanks to everybody for the kind words. You know, there's a lot of very nice, kind sentiments.
A lot of love out there.
And here we go. This one.
That's because the cool moms do some help out here. We try to.
Yeah, so this question I thought was intriguing because it usually comes from the other side of things.
Oh, okay.
But this one, a little serious, but it's coming from the other side of things.
What's
okay. From Scrump. Hello, mothers. I come to you for advice. Well, Scrump, you've come to the right place.
Right place.
I've been going through a very rough and toxic breakup. I cheated on my ex 5 months ago, admitted to it when confronted, and spent the next 2 months trying to fix things as she came to me wanting to work things out. It's been almost 2 months since she ghosted me and left without saying anything,
but very much going out of her way to do things that make my life miserable. Any advice for moving on? See, usually we get the other ones where it's like, I've been cheated on. This is the one where, and I think, look, if you're, I've got a handful of friends, that are unblemished in terms of being honorable and good. I think even cheating when you're younger, it's almost like a lesson you've got to endure and see the impact it has on somebody else so you understand. Because we've all been hurt by that.
Sure.
But when you're the person hurting, it's a totally different hurt. It just like, I don't know, I've been in that situation where I've done that to somebody, and it's the worst feeling.
So he's already admitted to it, tried to work it out, didn't work out, and now she is just in his life.
I think typically what happens is, just like he wrote, he cheated on her. She instantly wanted to patch things up. They got together. She, as things are going on, she still can't get that out of her head, and now she ghosted him.
Yeah.
And that's usually the way it goes, right?
Well, this is the thing with, you can't make people forgive you.
Yeah.
And you can't make people move on. Mm-hmm. Even though if we are well-equipped to move on or deal with things, unfortunately, everybody works at their own pace, and sometimes people just won't do it.
Yeah.
So if you're at a spot, and now it's affecting the life in an adverse way, he's saying it's bad for him, you have toxicity in your life. Mm-hmm. You need to remove it.
Yeah.
So you just have to stop. Right?
Yeah.
That's it. You've got to get this person out of your life completely. Going out of your way to make things... to make your life harder is definitely coming from probably a vindictive place, but probably she's hurt. It's an earned place, you know? So she's like, what could I do to hurt him? And she's doing that.
Exactly.
So you probably got to buckle up for a minute as it goes through and try to work it out as best you can to be like, okay, look, are we even yet in your mind? Right.
Right.
That's what she's working towards. And
you don't know if you're ever going to get there, especially when you're younger. You're not as mature enough to get over those things. I think if you're dating in your 40s or 50s or something, it's totally different. I think, you know, there's maybe a little more slack with that stuff. But I think when you're younger, especially like to the young man, I would just say, look, that's your lesson, dude.
100%.
You got to be accountable for what you did. And it's one thing to be the victim in those situations, right? To be like, well, you didn't do anything wrong, right? You were just riding along, committed to somebody. When you go off the reservation, that's all on you.
Yeah.
You messed up.
So you got to try to work it out, and hopefully the person could work it out with you and be open to it. And if they're not, which seems to be the case here, you have to deal with the repercussions of your actions, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, nothing worse. Either side of the pendulum, it's two totally different pains, but I'll never forget the first girlfriend I had in college. We had dated for a while, and we, you know, there's a few university bars at Kent State, and she ended up talking to this dude in a fraternity, and she basically went back with her friends to that frat house, and I wasn't in a fraternity at the time, and I remember walking up to the front door and knocking and going,
hey. You knew she was in.
Oh, I knew she was in there. And I know what goes on in there. I've seen those movies. So I'm knocking on the door and I'm like, hey, my girlfriend's in here. I came to, you know,
my parents had HBO. My parents had HBO. Yeah. I know what happens in these houses. I've seen the movies.
But I knocked on the door and I said, you know, I'd like to get my, I'm here to get my girlfriend. They wouldn't let me in. And I, you know, drinking, of course. It's like, well, I'm coming in to get my girlfriend. You know, get popped, get chucked. Yep. And it's like, okay, now you started it. And now, and I remember I was walking away and she was up in the window.
No.
Looking at me.
Oh my God, it's like a movie. Like, it is like a movie.
And then I came back with a yellow jacket and an axe and a mask. And I was like,
I got some old lady makeup and I waited on Route 16.
But that was literally seeing it happen right in front of me. And it gutted me. And you would think even after that lesson, you would be like, well, I don't want to do that to somebody.
Yeah.
But you find yourself, especially when you're dating and everything's new to you and all the life experiences are right in front of you. You know, I did find myself in those situations, especially as a young comic. It was so much easier.
Well, people are people too, right? People make mistakes too. So like you've made a mistake here and you have to deal with the fallout of it. But try not to beat yourself up too hard about it. Just remember what you've done and what you're learning from this. The worst part of this is to not learn from this experience and then take it into your next relationship.
Yeah, and I think if you're younger too, it's so easy to say these things, and it's not easy to receive these things. But when you're a young buck out there and you make these mistakes, if I were to talk to anybody, if it was my son, and he's like 20 or 22, I'd be like, just move on.
Yeah.
Just move on. This is an experience you had. You can't right the wrong. Just there's plenty of fish in the sea. You'll find somebody great and learn from it.
100%. You know? All right. That was a good one. There you go.
Yeah, nice. It was good.
That's interesting to look at it from the other side.
All right. Okay. So this is coming to us from Sabrina. Hi, my lovely, young, and beautiful mums.
Oh, mums. Uh-oh.
Mums. So
over the pond.
We're over the pond, yeah. Yep. I will travel to the USA for the very first time, going to Orlando. Any do's and don'ts that I have to keep in mind? I neither want to get arrested, okay, nor miss something out. Thanks for your advice. Love you both. Triple kisses from Sabrina. First time going to America. She's going to Orlando. Well, Orlando is not really America, Sabrina. Orlando is a concoction of the worst of humanity that America has to offer.
Are you just saying all this to prod Jiggy, who is a proud Orlando?
That's right.
Orlando,
but you know, Orlando, it's like... It's where everybody goes to go to chain restaurants and throw it up on roller coasters, right? That's like the diet, I think.
It has no.
Do you want that or?
Yeah, I think I got myself.
Oh, you got.
There's no soul to Orlando because it was built like 25 years ago.
Right. That's right. Yeah, Disney basically.
Yeah.
Took it over,
there's
and
no
now
culture.
It's. Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think of Orlando?
If you go to Orlando, you got to check out Disney World.
You have to.
You got to go to the chain restaurant Olive Garden. You got to. It's a must. It's a must go. She's not here. It's a family owned. But when you're there, you're family. It's really a nice.
Okay. How about this? If you come to the States, the chain restaurant you have to go to.
I mean, just to, which embodies America most for me is Cheesecake Factory, right? Because you get literally anything. It's a phone book of a menu.
And the food's great.
I'll stop there.
No, come on.
I don't say the food's great. I mean, it's good food, but I wouldn't say it's great. If you ask me for the best food chain restaurant, got to go Applebee's.
What?
No, I just did that for the reaction.
You got a double. What? What?
What? No, I'm not a big chain restaurant guy. I like local. But I mean.
Same. But if she's coming to the States for the first time, she's going to be overwhelmed with all those. I would say Cheesecake Factory for sure.
I would say Cheesecake
Factory. I love Cheesecake Factory. You don't like the food there?
I don't not like it. I didn't like lose my shit about it like you did. You love it. Like you want to go there for dinner tonight? You know what? I growing up though, like that, I didn't have a Cheesecake Factory. It was, for me, it was a TGI Fridays in the mall, and actually a Perkins.
There we go.
And I love a breakfast chain food spot.
Yeah,
I'll do an IHOP. I'll do a Denny's. I love those. I think those are fun. But as far as like going to eat, I don't really do a chain.
Friendly's was my jam when I was a kid.
Friendly's is the best.
And you don't see them anymore.
No. We just saw one. I went to a Friendly's the day before it was closing. It was the saddest meal I ever had. I'm driving with my kids, mom, and my kids, and we're driving back from
in the backyard?
They went to the dentist or something. It was like a doctor appointment.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, let's go get lunch.
Right.
Complete lie. We just left soccer practice. I remember it now. We left soccer and we drive by and I was like, oh my God, there's a Friendly's here? And they're like, yeah. So I was like, oh, we gotta go to Friendly's.
Yeah.
And Bessie's from the West Coast. She has no idea what that is. So I'm like, come on, we go in. We go in. And it is so morose. And I'm like, hey. And she's like, hi, welcome to Friendly's. I'm like, oh, hey. I said, I used to come to Friendly's all the time. I said, I brought my kids. She's like, oh, well, we're closing tomorrow.
Aww.
And I was like, what? I was like, oh. She's like, yeah, you know, we're closing this location. And I was like, oh. And then she's like, table four. And I'm like, sure. So we went and sat and ate. And the lights, like half the lights weren't even on. It was so sad. But we got
playing the soundtrack to Schindler's List. It's like, oh, God, guys.
But we got the Sunday that I used to get when I was little, which is
the best.
The clown, right?
It was
the clown Sunday. The best.
So the best, one of the best summertime treats ever is the watermelon.
Refresher?
The watermelon, you slice the watermelon, and it's got this chocolate chip as the seeds from Friendly's.
No, wait, what?
What?
A chocolate chip?
It's a cake. It's like an ice cream cake thing.
It's a sorbet.
Sorbet.
Yeah.
And it looks like a watermelon. And
oh.
It, and it's like strawberry sorbet.
I never had that.
Chocolate chips.
And chocolate chips is the seeds.
I don't get it. Guys, I'm meat and potatoes.
yeah.
You know.
I'm pulling it up.
3 and 9 on the steering wheel for me. Chocolate, waffle cone, Rainbow Sprinkles. That's it.
Isn't it 10-2 on the serum?
10-2
You said 39, you're an Asian driver. Could you feed any more stereotypes on this podcast? Oh, Stevie.
I took my shoes off.
You did?
Oh, wow.
You've never seen that?
That looks fantastic. Is that awesome? No. That looks great.
Really one of the best summertime treats you can get.
Yeah, it's really
a sheet roll. Wow, you can buy this?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks great. $6.69, that's it?
He's
pretty
in.
Good.
Well priced.
There you go.
Okay, so she's coming from across the pond. Are there do's and don'ts? I would say in Orlando, do whatever you want, because you're going to see the worst that America has to offer. Yeah.
But I think
packs.
Orlando is going to be, for coming from the UK, I do, speaking of stereotypes we just said, I think you get a big slice of stereotypical American in Orlando.
Oh, yes.
Right? So you're going to feed all those things that you think, right?
Yeah.
There's not as much. But I will say there's also a lot of fun packed in Orlando with the theme parks and the water parks and a lot of
shows.
Park your car. You do a lot there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's
a ton to do.
It's a vacation spot. So.
Yeah. Like, what is that one with the building that's upside down?
Wonderworks.
That's an awesome spot.
Yeah.
My kids love that.
See, look, you're turning a corner on Orlando.
All right. You got me. Home of the boy bands.
Home of the boy bands, for
sure.
Lou
Pearlman
was
based out of there.
Go to Joey Fatone's house. Ask him for one of his, hot dogs that he has. What's he call him, Joey?
Fat ones.
Get a fat one.
Does he make his own hot dogs?
Yeah, it's a hot dog brand called Fat Ones.
Is he really?
Fatone, Fat Ones, yeah.
What's the truck? How is it?
It's a food truck.
Oh, it's a food truck?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
He does his own food truck.
Yeah. We had it
He's not serving
no,
it,
no,
though.
No. It's his image. He's not there slinging sausages. No. It's his face. we actually had them. You think Joey Fatone right now, that's how bad it is for Joey. He's like, hey, guys, come on. You want to try.
He's
giving out samples. He's not jiggy. Fatone's way too busy for that. So I would say take it in, because it really is a vacation spot for Americans. So there's a lot of fun there.
I would say just go all in.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people are like, there's like an aversion to it. It's just like, this is just, you might as well just feed into what it is and have a blast doing it. Like when you're in LA, and one of the funniest things my friends did was they lived up in the hills and they were established like, stars or whatever. But one of the funniest things I thought they did was they just got in their car. They packed their suitcases for a weekend, and they went literally 2 miles down to Hollywood Boulevard and got a hotel and went to the Ripley's Wax Museum.
Yeah, they were at the Lowe's on Hollywood Highland?
They did all the tour stuff.
That's great.
And they said, we live right here. We've never done it, so why don't we do it and treat it like it's a vacation? They did it, and it's hilarious. It was two miles from the place, and they had a total blast. And I think if you're in Orlando, just buy into it. Have a good run. There's, like you said, there's so much to do, but Disney's the greatest.
Disney, I like. I like Universal, too, down there.
Universal's the best.
Universal's a good
time. If you're an adult, Universal is much better than Disney. I think Disney still is the...
Yeah, Disney is an experience, for sure. They're both very classic, big time America, fun time. I think I have fun at either. I hope you like rides and good times and foods and treats.
It is interesting when you say that, though, of like a representation of America, right?
Yeah.
Vegas is
a
totally different interpretation, but it is. New York City is.
For sure.
Hollywood.
Yeah, all the big hitters.
Yeah. But
I wouldn't say
you get different slices. Yeah, Chicago.
No,
not
no,
as
no.
Much.
But
like,
I feel
New
like,
Orleans.
No, Orlando,
has his own
New Orleans,
right?
New Orleans for sure. I would put Orlando and New Orleans together. Well, no, not as many people go to New Orleans. Everybody in America goes to Orlando one time in their life.
You have to, yeah.
Right?
But New Orleans.
Where else does everybody go one time in their life? But New York. The problem with New York, the difference is people come here to stay here and live. I don't feel like a lot of people go to live in Orlando as much.
Right. Yeah.
There are people that live in Orlando and love Florida and all that. Yes, of course. But it's nowhere near as much as if you look at people who live in New York versus people who visit New York from America.
Sure.
And then you look at people who live in Orlando versus the amount of people from America that visit Orlando and that live. I feel like a lot more people visit than live in Orlando.
Yeah. I think like if you took Kansas City, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. Look, I'm from Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. But there's no real big difference between those cities, other than the sports teams and the history you have with those, or like a Permane Brothers sandwich. But other than that, they're kind of like these Midwestern Rust Belt cities that are all kind of typical of each other. But I love cities that have their own personality. Like New Orleans has
its
own personality.
Yeah, for sure. And Nashville, I'll put it in there, too. I think Nashville does.
Nashville, with Broadway and just so much of the music scene. My friend Joel from Australia, I took him down to Broadway, and he's like, He's like, so somebody's playing in every bar? I'm like, every single
and they're good.
Bar.
And they're
and
all
they're phenomenal.
Good. And they're all good.
At the airport.
Yeah.
Walk through the airport at Tootsie's, they have somebody playing. And, yeah. you know, now the other one, the Blake Shelton one or whatever it is. But I don't know, any other advice for this young lady, Sabrina?
Pack sunscreen.
Pack sunscreen, that's right. And comfortable shoes.
Comfy shoes are very important.
Comfortable shoes, very important in Orlando. Okay, let's get to our next one. Okay.
Here we go. Oh, no. By the look, I could tell this is going to be a doozer.
We packed a lot here in 60 words.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, moms. So here's the deal. I'm 22. I have a one-year-old kid with a criminal with with Nazi tattoos and a swastika tattooed on his face. It's small, but still. Sorry, I'm not.
No, this
it's
is
just the way it's worded.
Yes, it's good wording.
Okay, with Nazi tattoos.
She's painting the picture.
With Nazi tattoos and a swastika tattooed on his face. It's small, but still.
Yeah, but still.
My kid's dad is in prison for 2 years. We have a good relationship. Okay. Met a cute, nice, young 19-year-old boy at work who lets me put his debit card on my Apple Pay before I even kissed him.
True love. True love.
Okay, I'm not, again, I'm being respectful great, here, great, but this is just the way it's worded, okay?
Okay.
So I can freely spend his money as I please. Now he's head over heels, and I don't even like him. Just like being taken care of. And I plan to let my kid's dad move back in with me when he gets out in 2 years. With all that being said, I am living my best life. Thoughts, advice. Well,
look up tattoo removal places in your area.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to let.
She's very young, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
She's young.
And she is taking advantage of a person, which is not good. What
yes.
you're doing is not good. So yeah, I'm not going to be up here and coddle you and say you're living your best life. You're living a terrible life. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you need to correct yourself before you're ready to wreck yourself. That's my two cents. I'm embarrassed for you. And you got a kid. And you're going to be raising a kid in this world. And you want to treat them to be kind and loving as best you can. And the way that you're living is not doesn't seem to be that way. Now, when the husband gets out... And I'm sorry, when the father gets out and you guys are going to rekindle your relationship and you think this is going to work for you, then that's good.
Yeah.
If you think it'll work for you, that's great. But to take advantage of someone with this magnitude is not something that you should be doing. And that's just my two cents.
I completely agree with you. If I were your friend, miss, I would say immediately be dependent upon yourself.
Yes.
Don't rely on this other guy that you're taking advantage of. Because you're not only siphoning money that he's working hard for, and he's 19. It's not like he's a stockbroker.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got a job to get him by until he figures out what he wants to do. So the little money resources he does have, he's giving to you, and you're misleading him.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're absolutely misleading him into thinking there's something more to it.
Well, the flip side of this, devil's advocate, I'll take all I just said and throw it out the window. If this guy is feeling some sort of sugar daddy-ish kind of vibes and he's
19.
Throwing it away, well, you don't know what this sugar daddy. He might be out there in the Kroger's bagging away like a madman so he could take care of a girl. You don't know what he's doing. He might be getting something from it. So if he's in the game, then sure, live your best life. God bless you.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like the picture has not been painted with that paintbrush to me.
No, young lady, it sounds like you've made some poor decisions.
Yes.
Look, he's got a swastika tattoo on his face.
But it's still little, but nonetheless.
Even she knows.
But still. She has to but still it.
Yeah. Look, if you're gonna make the commitment to let the father move back in, then I think you should be honorable to that relationship and not mislead anybody. And also, it'll fortify the relationship when he comes out, because if somebody's in prison, to me, at least, I wouldn't want to do anything to anger them.
Yeah. When they come out. Especially if they have a little swastika on the face.
Yeah, they got Nazi tattoos on, and, you know, you don't want to...
They don't seem like the most level-headed when they're going to be faced with... They're not going to be talking through stuff as level-headed as you'd think.
That's right, but...
Yeah. You don't want to stereotype here, but I'm telling you, it's not a good starting point.
It's not. But I would say the best to you, but I would say, please, stop taking advantage of that other individual.
I agree. We are in agreement. I think that you wrote into the mommies to get some good mommy advice, and you should be living a better life.
Yes. Yeah. But look, we're not coming down on you either, because you're also young and you're figuring things out as you were, sure. And you're raising a kid on your own. So, that is not an easy task to do. So, you know, I understand you know, you're probably living by a thread. So, yeah, I totally get it. But I think if you could be more dependent on yourself as opposed to relying on others, you'll feel so much more proud. And when he comes out too,
I think another big thing here too is that we always talk about communication. Does this guy know that he's coming out of prison in 2 years and stuff like that? Like, if you bring him up to speed, it might change. Yeah. The guy might not care, but like, I don't care.
Or what does the guy in prison think of you hanging out with a 19-year-old who's a sweetheart that you're taking his money?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so that's another way to look at it. Yeah.
All right.
That was a lot of words, delivered a lot of information, and we gave a lot of advice on it. That was just a big one.
Yeah. All right, this is coming to us from Brittany.
Britt.
I consider myself to be a gamer girl. Do either of you have any favorite games?
Love
you both.
Love a gamer girl. I'm in Elden Ring right now. My favorite series, I've always said,
Elden Ring?
It's like a, you know, you're a
RPG.
You got a, you know, wizard. Go forth, young man, and find treasure. Like one of those. I like that game. It's a little too big of an open world for me, but
do you wear a cloak when you play?
I do.
Do you? Okay.
I told you that?
Oh, go like you tie the cloak.
No, the knot. Yeah. I didn't tell you about that. I have my dogs. They all get dressed up with little. I put a little elf outfit on.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm like, come with me, troops. I've been playing that, but my favorite series of all time, I've always loved Assassin's Creed, and I really like the Uncharted series. I like those kinds of games. Yeah. The new Tomb Raider I thought was phenomenal. I'm looking forward to a new crop of games. I think the pandemic stopped a lot of development of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're in a lull right now.
How long does Assassin's Creed take you to get through?
It depends which one I got. Yeah.
What is the average
time? Some of the ones, like I put Black Flag was my favorite one of that, and I think I beat it in like a week.
I was
just in deep. I just played it like every night. I really, really love that game. But some of the other ones I'll just pick up and play.
Right.
You know, it really depends on how fun they are when you're not doing the main stuff. The ones that are like when you play the main ones, like God of War, like you play the main thing and whatever. But if you could like go off and explore, and that part of the game is fun, it'll take me longer because I'd be like, oh, what's over here? You know, that kind of thing. But I really liked Black Flag, and I thought that was really fun. I think it's probably my favorite one out of the Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed. I never tried that.
Never tried that?
I never tried that or Uncharted, and I would love it.
You gotta get into.
I know I would love it because I loved I love Battlefront. Mm-hmm. Star Wars.
Yep.
My son and I play it. My buddy Jason Dallas and I used to play it all the time.
Really?
All the time. I'd finish my sets at the Comedy Store, drive to Pasadena. We get McDonald's before close at midnight and play till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh wow!
It was the best.
Yeah.
And just on the missions, it was such a great time. But I love a game A to Z where I have a mission and I gotta finish it. I don't like open world.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. That's why I never got into
Elden Ring. Is a little too open world for me. It's a little much for me right now. But I like the middle groundish of it. Me and Sal in a sleepover, we went to Best Buy. We were 32 years old. Went to Best Buy, and we bought the first Lego Star Wars that came out.
Oh, those are.
And
great.
He slept over, and we played till 6:30 a.m.
and we
beat it. We didn't go to bed, and we beat it.
You did, yeah.
Probably one of the best nights of my life.
Really?
It was so fun, me and Sal. Yeah, we just went and got goodies. Mm-hmm. We went to Best Buy, me and Sal used to go to Best Buy every week for the new DVDs and whatnot. You know, like that was our thing. We had a lot of stupid things like that. And it might even have been a Sunday because The Sopranos, we always used to watch The Sopranos together, so I was probably a little bit younger than 33. And he came over, and then my mom was going to work, because this is when I was living in her basement.
Yeah.
And when...
This all sounds about right.
Yeah, it's right. And here I am.
This is what you do when you live in mom's basement.
This is it. Yeah. And then my mom was going to get ready for work, and I went upstairs, and she's like, oh, you're up early. I'm not going to go to bed yet. She's like, you have to do something with yourself. It's very funny. And then Sal was there. She's like, oh, break Sal. Hi, Sal. Like, she loves Sal. It was really funny.
Roywood Jr. told me he does this once a year where he'll get the new Call of Duty, mm-hmm. or he'll just go get a Call of Duty, and he'll get a Little Caesars deep dish and a 2-liter bottle of root beer, and he'll just sit there all day and just play Call of Duty for one day. He dedicates his life to that.
See?
I'm like,
Roywood's doing something.
That's
right,
what you got to do.
He's the
That's
best.
Right. Yeah.
So good. I want to grow up and be Roy Wood Jr. I would think I would play more video games now, but I don't now because my time is, you know, more dedicated and limited, you know, dedicated to family. And then let it, like, the nights is like when I'm able to do something, I like have to write. And then,
yeah,
and then I'm away from my console. I used to travel with a Nintendo Switch. I used to, when we did the, me and Q used to take it on the tour bus. Mm-hmm. And we used to hook him up, and then they sold the console, and we used to take him into the hotel rooms, and we'd play. Oh, that Legend of Zelda one that they released, that the Link one,
yeah,
was unbelievable.
Right?
So good. Probably one of my favorite video games of recent days, and everybody loved it.
What's your favorite video game of all time?
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider, for sure. I loved Tomb Raider.
You're talking back in the day where it's like less pixelated and it first came out.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about, well, I mean, if I go old school, Galaga, like the stand up Galaga is one of my favorite. That Dig Dug, all that Namco, they crush it. I love those.
My favorite was on Xbox, the first Xbox, they had an Indiana Jones game came out.
Oh.
I was addicted to it and I solved it. And then I went, I gave it a few months, I solved it again,
yeah.
I gave it a few months and solved it again. And I'll never forget, there was this octopus part, you had to beat the octopus, and I couldn't, it took me forever,
yeah.
And I beat it, I let out this guttural scream, fuck.
Yeah, you know, but there are certain games in life that when you say the game, you remember like a part of your life, and that's what makes you love it more, like 007, right? College.
Sure, yeah.
Me and the guys skipping class, Star Fox. Just playing like that, right? Yeah, Star Fox, right?
That was around that time.
Eight Eyes was when I had no friends.
Excuse me?
Eight Eyes, it was
what
called.
What is Eight
it
Eyes?
It was on Sega Genesis. I had no friends. And this guy, it was the first two-player game where you could use the Hulk on your shoulder to attack and play with it. And I felt like the Hulk was my friend. How sad is that? Thanks for listening to Two Cool Moms. Don't forget to subscribe. I appreciate you. I'm going to go punch myself in the face.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.